This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Tuesday, November 1, 2016. The Solemnity of All Saints, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Who are these? May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Who are these? That is not a question that St. John asks when he has a vision of heaven. It is a quiz that is posed to him by one of the elders that is there with the vision. Quiz, who are these? He's looking out at innumerable people dressed in white robes. Who are these? He doesn't know. You know. He says, these are the ones who have gone through the great tribulation. Now, a lot of folks in our day and age, they hear that word and they think it's some 7-year period of time that's going to happen in the future. The great tribulation is our life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. The answer to the question, who are these, are those who have gone before us and endured. They are the ones who have been obedient and faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who these are, and these are our examples. They are examples. You know, we have feast days quite frequently. Yeah, I don't do ferial days, so even if it's a third-class feast day, we have feast days to celebrate the lives of many of the saints. I always emphasize the fact that they are examples. On this day, why do we have All Saints Day if they all have their feast day? Well, we have All Saints Day because it's all the saints, those of whom we know and those of whom we do not know. I mean, we know saints from Scripture, right? Those ones who have overcome the horrible things in this life are examples. Joseph in the Old Testament, you know, he is confronted with the criminal solicitation of a woman to become immoral, and he shuns her advances, runs, and it gets him thrown in prison, and he endures prison, and then our Lord, in his faithfulness, makes him second only to Pharaoh in charge of Egypt because he stood fast and was faithful to God. Later on in the Scriptures, we have Susanna. She's confronted with no less than the ministers of Satan himself and two of the religious authorities who want her to commit an immoral act. She will not do it. They put her on trial. They agree against her as witnesses, and she is this close to being executed. And our Lord is faithful to her, and she is not executed. They are. Our Lord is faithful. You have Job from the Old Testament. Job, in our baptismal formula, that we may overcome the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Job covered all of those bases. He overcame all of those things. Well, yeah, but there are people in the Bible. You know, that God's trying to tell us something, and there's just nice stories that we hear on Sundays. Nah, they're your examples. Everything that I just said about them overcoming temptations are set temptations in the same way that we are tempted in this life. We just have to overcome in faithfulness with our Lord. And then we have the big saints that have their feast day, St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Ignatius Loyola. Everybody loves them. Everybody knows their stories. You know, those are the list from whom we pick our favorites. I like this, and it's a good thing. It is an excellent thing for us to look at saints and go, that saint, that story I read about him, that's just like my life. Or that saint did the things I do in life vocationally. They're like, they had a family. They're a mom. They're a dad. They're a soldier. All these, they're like me. We pick one. We pick that from the known list, the ones that everybody, you know, there are other saints of which we know very little. One of my favorites that I throw out all the time. Somebody will say, well, so-and-so is a saint. I say, well, so is St. John the Dwarf. That is a real saint. If you open up your Butler's Lives of the Saints, guess what? St. John the Dwarf is there. I've never heard one person ever come to, my patron saint is St. John the Dwarf. Yeah. What did he do? We don't know. And even if you look in the book, his name is there. Today's day is for saints of whom we know nothing. That is all saints. I would submit to you that there are saints that are in the grave now that are beholding the beatific vision that I bet, this is one of those conjecture moments, I would bet that there are saints who, you know, back in the day, some people were born and raised and died in the county in which they were, and they never went anywhere. I guarantee you there were some tremendously pious people throughout history who were in that situation. The only people that ever knew them were their family, friends that lived within close proximity, and the members of their parish. I guarantee you they were holier than St. Francis, St. Dominic, or St. Ignatius Loyola. They were glorious saints, they were just unknown. That's how God works. He does some of the most glorious things with people who are unknown. You think of St. Joseph, his foster father? What do you know about St. Joseph? We can't sit and talk a long time about him because we don't know a whole lot about him. Very, as we would say, low on the radar screen. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God, the God-man. He comes down from heaven, is born in Bethlehem, and then he's off the grid for 30 years. 3 decades. You don't know anything about our Lord Jesus Christ until his earthly ministry. 30 years. Don't know anything about him. He's God. And we can think for a moment that there are great saints, holy saints, saints that you should want praying for you because they were so close to God, but maybe a handful of people knew them. Maybe they died when they were 14, 15, 16 years old, were sickly but pious beyond our imagination. That's who these are. So we can ask the question, we are quizzed today. Who are these saints that we gather today on this day of obligation and celebrate? It's those latter ones. These saints lived the Beatitudes. Who read the Beatitudes in the gospel today? And we know them. Can you recite them? Can we hold a little discussion about them? Yeah, most people can. Both Catholics, you know, everybody knows and loves the Beatitudes, knows them. These folks that we celebrate today lived the Beatitudes. They were part and parcel of their lives in absolutely every aspect. That's why they have the beatific vision. Who are these? These are the ones who lived everything that we are talking about. Ones for whom we should look as examples to live the same exact way. I said on Sundays, and it's good, kind of on the coattails, about our humility. One of the things that we have to do in our humility is distrust ourselves. We have to distrust ourselves. We can't rely on ourselves to be holy, to be pious, to live the Beatitudes just in and of ourselves. It's not in our nature. It's not in our nature. So what do? We look to others who are like us, who were examples. Those who followed their leader, who overcame all temptations, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're saints now, not because of any innate goodness in and of themselves, but because they followed our Lord Jesus Christ and they followed him explicitly. They followed him humbly. They followed him in absolute faith and obedience. Our Lord Jesus Christ was victorious in the exact same spiritual combat in which we are engaged in our day-to-day lives. Well, yeah, but he was Jesus. He was God. Yep, there's kind of a disconnect there. He was God. I can only do so much. And you have the Blessed Virgin Mother. Our Blessed Mother, her fiat, absolute faith and obedience, she follows her son. Oh, yeah, but that's Mary. Yeah, she's a creature like us, but she was immaculately conceived and was without sin. I'm not like that. So there's a disconnect even there. There can be no disconnect with the saints. Every one of them, even the biggies, even the ones from Scripture, even the ones from Butler's Lives of the Saints, even the ones that we may not know, they were just like us. Exactly. And you know what? They live in a lot tougher times than we do. You know, in the times most of them lived, you know, you're living day to day, hand to mouth. And they still persevered in faith and obedience with our Lord Jesus Christ. They are our hope. That second reading today from the first letter of St. John. They are our hope. That's why they're our examples. They give us hope because when we look at them, they were just like me. And they are in heaven. They are perceiving the beatific vision. Our hope, as I always point out, is not the hope of the world. It's not that I hope I win the lottery, which unfortunately, hate to be the wet blanket, but you're probably not. You can hope all you want, but you're probably not going to win the lottery. Our Catholic hope is something much more than that. Our hope is embracing these lives and say, well, how can I do it? Live like they did. Live in conformity to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Live in conformity to the traditions of your Catholic Church of 2,000 years. Live in conformity to the consistent magisterial teachings of that church. If you do that and are not blown about by every wind of doctrine and everything you hear on this news or read on this blog, just keep faithful to that and you will be just like them. They are our hope. The answer is, who are these? Who are these saints? They're you. That's why God uses them. They are the Hall of Famers. We are taught to emulate them. They are for us. The Holy Spirit directs them to us. That second reading from the first letter of John, that comes from chapter 3 and chapter 2. He says, I am writing to you because you have overcome the evil one. Not, I am writing to you because you may overcome the evil one. We have overcome the evil. You're sitting here right now on a Tuesday afternoon. It is your obligation, but which I commend you wholeheartedly because there's a bunch of people, oh, obligation, whatever. You're here today because you have overcome the devil or you wouldn't be here. It's a struggle. It's a constant struggle. Yeah, you have overcome him, but that's a battle. We have a war to fight. You can win some battles, but you don't know what's going to go on at the end of the war. Keep fighting. Resist him. These saints did. One of the most explicit and succinct statements in the Bible we find in the letter of James, and he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Unfortunately, we do not live in a day and time when people are resisting the devil. Some things you hear, you would think they were playing footsies with him. Okay? We are to resist him. You resist the devil by prayer. In constant prayer, whether you feel like it or not. I would actually submit to you that the best ones that you say are when you don't want to pray. Because he knows you don't want to, and you do it anyway. You do it out of faith and obedience. Prayer is a resistance. Laboring for the cause of the gospel, no matter how that may manifest itself in your life. Laboring for the church and the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. That is resisting Satan. Fasting is resisting Satan. Fasting amplifies tremendously your prayer life. Chastity in your particular call in life. Chastity is resistance to the devil. Who are these? The answer is they are you. They are you. They just persevered throughout their whole lives resisting. Who are these? They're you. Resist Satan and he will flee from you. And you will be with them someday with our Lord in paradise. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.